today is a momentous occasion. Today, we complete, Lord willing, we complete the preaching of a chapter of the Bible at perhaps the slowest pace that you have ever experienced. It's possible. One chapter, 23 verses, 16 messages. And here's the good news, just in case you're anticipating what's coming next. In preaching through the book of Ephesians, 23 verses down, only 132 verses to go. May I share with you a current church-related trend that concerns me? Many people today shop for a church like they shop for a new car. Among many, there seems to be a very self-focused consumer mentality when trying to find a church. Let me pause right here and say, there are good reasons to find a new church. But what I'm talking about here is not one of them. So what does this look like? It's something like this. Let's see. I really like the navigation system on Church Alpha. That's a feature my old church didn't have. But the paint job on Church Bravo, wow, Velocity Red, my favorite. But we do need to consider fuel economy. Everyone knows that if you want good fuel economy, Church Echo is the one you want. For a lot of people, the only difference in car shopping and church shopping is that the features you're comparing are not navigation systems, paint colors, or fuel economy. In church shopping, it's more likely to be a comparison of the Sunday morning show. Look, honey, Church Alpha has laser lights. Or the size of the church, because bigger is always better, right? Or perhaps the coolness factor of the pastor. Look, honey, the pastor at Church Bravo wears skinny jeans. By the way, just to clarify, if you're waiting for me to wear skinny jeans, it's going to be a long wait. Long wait. So here's my question. And I mean no disrespect, but it's a fair question. If you shop for a church like you shop for a car, who are you trying to please? You or God? Let me again say, are there good reasons to find a new church? There are. But a me-first consumer mentality is not one of them. So what should we do? We should pray. Wouldn't it be good to pray and say, God, what is your plan for me related to church? What is your purpose through me when it comes to church? Lord, what is your will related to me and church? Do you hear the common theme in those questions? The focus is on God, not me. You know why that matters? Because God's purpose matters more than my purpose. God's will matters more than my will. There's another trend that concerns me. Some people have no problem attending three different churches while being committed to none. Well, let's see. We go to Alpha Church on Wednesday nights because we love their small groups. We go to Church Bravo on Sunday mornings because they offer blonde vanilla lattes. And on Sunday nights, we take our kids to Church Echo because they have a $97,000 playground, and our kids love that playground. Question, if you're attending three different churches while being committed to none, Who are you trying to please? You or God? I share these examples, and I ask you these questions that we might be able to focus on one crucial question. What is God's purpose for His church? For context, let's begin with verse 22, then we'll continue with verse 23, Ephesians chapter 1. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Last week in verse 22, we learned that the church is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is above all rule and authority. Jesus is above every name and every title. Jesus' authority is forever. Jesus is king over all. Why do these things matter? Because Jesus is the head of the church. The church is not about me. The church is not about you. The church is all about Jesus. So, what is God's purpose for His church? The first thing is this: the church is to be Christ's body. Christ's body, from verse 23. The church, which is His body. The church is His body. It belongs to Jesus. As the head of His body, Jesus is Lord of the church. Because the church is His body, Jesus can do whatever He wants with His church. And because it's His body, it is not God's intent that His church please us. It is God's intent that we please Him. You see how messed up we are when everything is about me? That's not the purpose of the church. Because Jesus is the head of the church, it is improper to call anyone else the head of the church. The Pope claims to be the head of the church. Is he? No, he is not. The Queen of England is deemed by her subjects to be the head of the church. Is she? She is not. Some pastors believe themselves to be the head of the church. Are they? No, they are not. Autocratic pastors are not the head of the church. Manipulative deacons are not the head of the church. Cranky, controlling members are not the head of the church. The church does not have one head on earth and another head in heaven. It doesn't work that way. Look, in the old horror movies, a body with two heads was a monster. So who is the head of the church? Christ alone is the head of the church. As the head of His body, Jesus is the life source of the church. A body only lives if the head lives. This explains why a guillotine is so effective. Once beheaded, no life can remain in the body. The executioner's sword terminated John the Baptist and is said to have terminated the Apostle Paul. A bullet to the head terminated Lincoln and Kennedy. Without Jesus, the church would terminate. But because He lives, the church enjoys an indestructible life. As head of his church, Jesus directs his church. The head is the nerve center of the body. Every body part is controlled by the central nervous system. Every muscle receives life as a response to nervous energy and power. All nerves can ultimately be traced back to the head. Each body part depends on the head for direction. In the same way, the church must rely upon Christ for direction. That's why we pray to Jesus, not to Mary or to Lindy or to any other pastor, not to a group of deacons or elders or committee chairpersons. The answers are found in the head, not the body. For a physical body, the head is everything. For the church, the head is everything. Jesus, the head of the church, is our Lord and our life. In his grace, Jesus has joined us to himself in a bond so binding that the final result is best described as his body. Being royalty, Jesus has every right to have a group of loyal followers. How could he be a king if he did not have a kingdom? His domain could have consisted of slaves who did nothing but stand before him, mindlessly giving him praise all day long. He chose instead to treat his followers as his body, as an interconnected team of people extending his very life and work. The church is Christ extended. When Jesus wanted to demonstrate through himself the meaning of servanthood, he needed a physical body to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Thus, he departed the glory of heaven and he clothed himself in human flesh. He still indwells a glorified version of this body in heaven. So, for his work on earth, Jesus spiritually indwells another body, his church. He is made visible, tangible, and touchable through our flesh. We are his hands to do his work. We are his feet to run his errands. We are his voices to speak his words. With reverence, I say that in us and through us, Jesus is omnipresent. He is present in all places at the same time. Again, with reverence, I say that in us and through us, Jesus is omniscient. He is all-knowing. In us and through us, Jesus is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He does not choose to use us due to any insufficiency in himself. He's plenty sufficient without us. Rather, in his providence, he chooses us, he chose us, because he chose us. It's his choice. By grace, not by necessity, he chose to make us his helpers. By the Father's appointment and by his own sovereign choice, Jesus holds the position of head. Thus, by definition, he needs a body. Every head needs a body. I'm going to date myself here a bit. Not many of you will know what I'm talking about in this next example, but go with me. Many years ago, there was a science fiction TV series entitled Way Out. It was a bizarre show, kind of like The Twilight Zone. I see you nodding, Phyllis. No, no, I've never seen that. I've never seen that show. Well, in one particular episode, a man's body organs ceased to function. His wife was only able to sort of keep him alive by saving his brain and one eye, which she stored in a large fishbowl of water. That's the show. I'm just telling you what was in the show. She connected sensors to her husband's brain in order to gauge his emotions. She had always disliked her cruel, unkind husband, so she did everything she could do to see his anger register on the monitors that were connected to these sensors. She would lift the eye from the bowl, get her cigar, and go into the eye, and then laugh and put it back in the bowl. She would taunt him by spending his hard-earned money on her own silly pleasures. This poor man could only float in his bowl and seethe. He was helpless. He was a mind without a body. Yes, I know this is really weird. I know, but here's the point. Just as a body with two heads is a freak or a monster, so also a head without a body is weak. It's not normal. A head cannot exist productively without a body. By his own sovereign choice, Christ, the head, has elected to do his work on earth through us, the church, his body. Through a body, a head engages the outside world. And Christ, our head, engages the outside world through us, his body, the church. Jesus chooses to see with our eyes. He chooses to hear with our ears, to talk with our tongues, and to walk with our feet. Jesus also chooses to touch with our hands and to love through our hearts and our feelings. Jesus wants to fulfill his purposes through us. What an amazing privilege. In a healthy situation, the head dictates, the body responds. But something is seriously wrong when the brain determines one thing, but the body does something else. Let me illustrate. Multiple sclerosis, or MS as it's known, is a disease of the central nervous system. The central nervous system is made up of the brain and the spinal cord. The central nervous system is a computer of sorts that controls the activities of the body. Within the brain are neurons. These neurons are known as gray matter. Then there are fibers which extend from these nerve cells called axons, which are also known as white matter or myelin. Myelin is a substance that's wrapped around the nerve fibers as a kind of conduit which enables information to be sent from the brain to the rest of the body or from a particular part of the body back to the brain. When a person has MS, the protective coating around the nerve fibers deteriorates. When this happens, the transmission of information from the brain to the body or from the body back to the brain is inhibited or blocked. You know, it's a real problem when the body does not respond to the brain. Consequences can include blurred vision, blindness, loss of muscle strength and motor skills, and an inability to feel with a normal sense of touch. among other things. Many churchgoers today are not that different than our people with MS. They are part of the body, but they're not responding to the signals from the head. They experience a loss of spiritual vision. They lose spiritual strength. They develop an inability to feel the presence of Christ in their lives, among other things. And it's so sad. It's just so sad. Our responsibility as the body of Christ is to represent the mind of Christ in this world. So, we must manifest His grace. We must manifest His love. We must manifest His hatred of sin. We must manifest His compassion for the lost. We must manifest the truth of His word. To not do these things would be to become a diseased, dysfunctional body, a body which is basically useless to the head. We can only represent the mind of Christ when we, as believers, understand and fulfill our role as members of His body. A head and a body are a vibrant, living organism. An organism is a living thing in which all of its component parts are vitally knit together. Same flesh, same blood, same DNA, a living cohesion. The body is not a bunch of loose parts somehow attached to one another like parts of a car engine. Our fingers are not glued on. Our arms are not bolted on. Our legs are not buckled on. The term body suggests a union of oneness. Anything that is not organically interconnected is not a member of the body. W. D. Tucker, who was a church deacon in Mississippi, had a wooden leg which he attached below his knee every morning. He loved to play a trick on those who did not know about his attachment. He would take an ice pick in his hand. He would pretend to get angry, and then he would scream, "I'm so mad I could just stab someone." And then he would ram the ice pick into his own wooden leg, then laugh at the horrified reaction of onlookers. True story. The only reason that this man could ram an ice pick into his leg was because that leg was not a member of his body. It was merely an attachment. The church suffers from such attachments as well. People who claim to be Christians, who claim to be followers of Christ, but who do not have a personal relationship with Christ. They've never truly known Him. Then there was also a seminary student named Ronnie who had a glass eye that he could easily slip out of the socket. When leaving the table, Ronnie would sometimes say, "You know, I have to go now, but I'm going to keep my eye on you." Yes, he would. And then he would go, pull out the glass eye, set it on the table, and walk away, laughing. Strange, but kind of funny. Ronnie's glass eye was not a member of his body. It was merely an attachment. Church roles bear the names of way too many people who are attachments. People who have never committed themselves to Christ. People who have never committed themselves to the body and in some cases, people who have disassociated themselves from the body altogether, and yet their name is on the church roll. Many of these absentees were never members of the body of Christ, even though they technically joined the church. It's a problem. Unfortunately, we take the word member and we apply it to the names that we enroll in lots of different kinds of organizations and churches. People are called members when they join the Rotary Club, the PTA, the NRA, the tennis team, and the church. But all of these so-called memberships are far, far less than God intended when he said that believers are to be members of his body. His body is a living organism, each part interconnected to one another, listen, for the purpose of doing the bidding of the head. Beloved, a living power unites us to Christ and to one another. The same blood flows through each part. In Christ, we are one body. On the Damascus Road, Saul heard Jesus say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul had been hurting the body, but the head felt the pain. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 to 27 reminds us, there should be no division in the body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Who's that written to? Those who have a relationship with Jesus. Those who are in Christ. Those who are followers of Jesus. The body is a single unit, one organic unity. No part of the body exists independently. Recently, somebody asked me, why does anybody ever need to go to church? I mean, I'm a Christian. Because you're a part of the body. And the head wants to do his purposes through you. Something's wrong with a body part that doesn't function. Something's wrong with a body part that doesn't stay connected to the rest of the body under the head. We are thus enabled to live victorious lives connected to other believers and connected to the head. To be healthy, you must be connected to the body, of which Christ is the head. What is God's purpose for his church? The church is to be the body of Christ. There's something else. Number two, the church is to display Christ's glory. Again from verse 23. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Since we share a vital union with Christ, the same divine power which gives life to the head also gives life to the body. Supernatural energy flows from the head to every member of the body. Jesus is the source of life for all things in all creation. His power upholds the universe and directs history, but his power finds its ultimate expression through his body, the church. God only ordained two institutions, the family and the church. There are many vital Christian ministries which are used by God to achieve great results for his kingdom. It's a good thing. But God has ordained the church as supreme. No other ministry or organization will ever take the place of the local church. We, the church, are the vessel chosen by God to best display Christ's glory. Because Christ is our head, we have everything we need for life and godliness, nothing lacking. So, I encourage you, take heart, believer, take heart, follower of Christ. The power of God is available to you. In fact, if you are in Christ, the power of God is within you because the Spirit of God is within you. God wants to manifest the fullness of himself in you such that you would be a living monument of his grace, his power, his love, and the purity of his Son. You know what we want? We want people to look at us and give glory to God. That's the whole point of the church, that people would look at us and see Christ at work in us and see how our lives have been transformed and say, glory to God. That's the point. So here's my encouragement. Don't just play church. Don't just float from one church to another. Embed yourself in one church. Tie yourself to God's church. I'm going to state the obvious. Parkway is not a perfect church. But you will not find a perfect church. Even so, the local church is God's only plan to show his glory to the sin-stained, death-darkened world in which we live. What is his plan? Right here in these seats. It is the church. No one can be healthy if dismembered from the rest of the body. But connected to one another and connected to the head, we can be a part of perpetuating his kingdom. We can be a part of being used by God to make a difference that will last all the way into eternity. That is a race worth running, and that is God's purpose for his church. Enough for today.